to our Sunday night service here at Calvary Baptist Church, Powder Springs, Georgia. And we are so thrilled and excited to be here tonight. And we hope you've had a blessed Sunday, the Lord's Day. Every day is the Lord's Day. But this day is set aside to worship and to honor Him. And we hope that you have set aside some time today to do that. And we had a great service this morning, and we talked about the alabaster box and how that this woman, Mary, she took that which was very costly to her, something that she could have sold and used for personal gain, used for something in the world, but yet she chose to anoint Jesus with the contents of that alabaster box, the oil on the inside, and what a blessing that was. And of course, that just pictures a wonderful display of worship and an act of faith on Mary's behalf in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how all of us need to come to the Lord that way with a broken heart. Pouring out our words unto Him and asking Him to do with us what He pleases, to use us in a mighty way, and for us to express our love and thankfulness to Him. But tonight is a brand new service, and we're aware of that. So we covet your prayers tonight to deliver the message the Lord has laid upon our hearts for this evening. And I do want to mention, first of all, tonight, by way of prayer request, we sent out a call post earlier today. We mentioned it at the conclusion of the service this morning. But the funeral services for Miss Betty Berry, visitation will be tomorrow night, Monday, August 17th, from 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock p.m. at the West Cobb Funeral Home. And then services will be there in the chapel of West Cobb Funeral Home at 11 a.m. on Tuesday. And that is August the 18th, Tuesday morning, 11 a.m. in the chapel. Brother Alan Clayton and myself will be officiating. And what a precious, precious dear lady Miss Betty Berry was from the time I had the pleasure of knowing her. And so she is forever, forever changed and forever healed. But please remember those arrangements, please, as we get ready to start this brand new week. Also, I need to remember another prayer request. I missed this by mistake this morning, and I got in trouble. And so I do want to mention Miss Ruby and Jimmy Harper in prayer. Let's pray for Ruby and Jimmy Harper. Again, that was my negligence. I had a lot going on up here this morning, so please forgive me for that. But nonetheless, there is a big unspoken from what I gather out of Miss Claudia. And so let's remember Ruby, Jimmy Harper. From what I hear, Jimmy Harper is not doing well. He's in hospice care as well. Let's remember these two. Of course, we have a bulletin that's filled with prayer requests, and you can log on to www.calvaryministries.org. And you can find a complete list on the bulletin tab there, where we have all of our prayer requests from start to finish. Let's just remember each and every person, every life. And also tonight, church, let's remember our world and the situation that we're in with the pandemic, with politics, with protesting. Our world needs a touch from God. No doubt God has touched our world, but the people of the world need to tenderize their hearts and turn themselves to the Lord. And let's watch America turn back to God. I do want to say this before we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. I mentioned it Wednesday night. I put out a bulletin, put out a post upon our church Facebook page on Friday, but we are still celebrating 15 years, Cajamarca, Peru. Brother Don, Sister Carla Rich, we cannot celebrate that enough. You guys are awesome. The Lord has showed himself mighty through you. All of us, this is your home church, Calvary, of course, but we are all celebrating you and in what you have done there, not only Cajamarca, but surrounding areas, the Bible ministry, all kinds of other things that we don't even know about that you do on a daily basis. We just praise the Lord for your lives, for who you are. I know that I was supposed to be there with you guys this week and perhaps next week, but because of this pandemic and all, we were let hitherto, as the Bible would say. But Lord willing, we'll be with you soon. But nonetheless, Brother Don, Sister Carla, we love you. God bless you. You are highly loved and highly esteemed here at the church. At this time, we're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we will bring about the message tonight. Father, we come in Jesus' name, no other name but Jesus' name. And Lord, we're thankful and we're grateful for the things that you have done in our lives. We are thankful, Lord, for the years that you have used Brother Don and Sister Carla upon foreign souls, Lord, away from home, away from all of the securities and safeties of life. Lord, we're all going through a pandemic right now, but those of us, most of us, we're here and they're there. God, tonight, I just pause and I say a special prayer over Brother Don and Sister Carla. Lord, I pray that you would just be near to them tonight, as I know they have church family over there, but Lord, we're their family over here, and we would love to be more near to them in body. So we pray for them, Lord, that you would be real to them, be near to them, give them special touches from on high tonight. Father, I pray that you'll just shower them with your presence and reassure them, Lord, of your mission for them, and just give them peace and allow their church family there to continually surround them, Lord, as they, I know, surround their church family. Father, we're thankful for what they do and for what they stand for. Tonight, Father, again, we pray for Sister Terry and Brother Allen and family as we get ready to move forward with these arrangements in the homegoing service of Miss Betty. We pray that you'll be honored and glorified in everything that is said and done in that service, Lord. We pray that you'll be at the visitation tomorrow night. Be with hearts. Father, be with Ruby and Jimmy Harper tonight. I pray that you are blessed there. You know the need. It was requested that it was an unspoken request. And so we pray that you would, dear Lord, look down and, Father, that you would undergird that situation and touch and heal and help, and motivate and direct. However you seem fit, Lord. Touch Brother Jimmy and the sick bed that he's on tonight. Raise him up, Lord. Do whatsoever you seem fit that's according to your will. We just pray for God's will in that situation. We pray corporately over all of these requests according to our folks here at Calvary and even friends and family members of those who belong to Calvary. We pray that you would be God in their lives, O Lord. Be with our world, Lord. Be with this election season. We pray that the right person, Lord, is there in office, dear God, to maintain that office. Father, we pray that things will be solved, things will be corrected. But Lord, in the depths of our hearts, we know that you are the soon and coming King. We know, Lord, that it's imminent. You will return for your church. We are your jewels. You're coming for us. And so we look up into the heavens from whence cometh our salvation. We pray, Lord, you'll come quickly. Father, until then, we'll preach your word. Until then, we'll encourage your people Till then, Father, we will rise to the occasion as we seem fit and in this world. Tonight, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. We're going to be in the book of Hebrews tonight, chapter number 12. Hebrews 12, very familiar portion of Scripture, one that's worthy of repetition. Of course, every word, every Scripture is worthy of repetition. And I guess I could say that this is probably some of my favorites or life verses. Again, this morning we talked about the broken alabaster box out of the book of Mark. But tonight we're going to go in a different direction. And tonight we're going to look at some things. Again, I have preached and taught from these verses before, but I just felt led that we ought to maintain, do some maintenance tonight. Just remember that we're in a race, and to remember that while we're in this race, that we have some obligations. And I think it's easy that being in this pandemic and being, I guess caught up in the politics and the protesting, it's easy to kind of lose our grip spiritually, to kind of slide and drift from our steadfastness. And so tonight, I just want to throw in a little bit of challenge in the middle of the encouragement, just a little bit of challenge in the midst of the encouragement, just to remind us that we're to stay the course. Just to remind us, we have obligation, we have responsibility, we still have a Bible to read, we still have a prayer time to meet, we still have sin as an issue we have to contend with. There's still a real devil out there. There's still all of these things that were pre-pandemic, but now they're in the middle of everything else. And so we have a lot going on today in Christianity. We have the pandemic, we have protesting, we have politics, but then we have our race, the Christian race, the race that we were running individually before all this happened. So tonight I want us to just take a simple reflection back upon the race that we're all to run. In fact, I want to preach tonight on this subject, stay the course. Stay the course. Look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter number 12, and look in verse number 1 if you would. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Tonight, I believe that these verses are telling us to stay the course. And that's a common term, a common phrase, stay the course. And what that simply means is just finish your race. Stay the course. Keep working hard spiritually. Keep going after your spiritual goals. Keep striving. Keep contending. Don't give up to the devil. Don't give in to the flesh. Don't quit. Don't backslide. Don't drift. Just stay the course. Like one of those men said on a TV show a long time ago, stay the course, man. Just stay the course. You'll never go wrong by staying the course in the midst of all of these things taking place in our life, it'd be easy to get caught up in the middle of all of that and just want Jesus to come and rapture us out of here. And that is a desire of ours. And He is coming to rapture us out of here. But I'm afraid that there are some who are waiting on their departure, and they have given up spiritually on their responsibilities. And they're kind of just, you know how, I guess like the ball games. They play real hard all the way down to the end. Let me just throw the Braves in there. I'm a Braves fan, but it seems like in times past the Braves were this way. They would make it all the way down they would win their division, and they would make it all the way down to the pennant, or even to the right before the World Series, and they would just give out and give in and give up, and they wouldn't win, and they would go back home. And I think a lot of times that's the case, is that we are probably more in love with our disappearing than His appearing. You see, there's a difference. The Bible says that there's a crown for those who long for His appearing. But there's a lot of faint Christians tonight who are longing for their disappearing. They are weary of striving against sin. They are weary of battling the devil. They are weary of everything going on in our life, the pandemic, politics, and protesting, and all the striving against sin. And listen, I can throw myself in there as well. There's times where I am faint yet pursuing, as the book of Judges says. But yet there is a difference when it comes to the Lord's appearing, where I'm longing to see Him as opposed to just be delivered from this place. You see, there's a crown for those who love His appearing. But there are a lot of Christians who just want to disappear. And I'm afraid of those who just long to disappear. They have become relaxed in their spiritual endeavors. They have become relaxed in their responsibilities. And they have got caught somewhere in the shuffle between pre-pandemic and pandemic and work and school. And listen, I'm right in the middle of that. We have a child that goes to school. My wife works, and I do what I do. And we all contend with the flesh and the devil. But listen, tonight, every now and again, it's good to stop and to just go back a little bit and take a couple steps back and say, you know what? We need to revisit some things concerning spiritual responsibilities and refresh our minds on our commitments. Because Jesus is going to come when he's ready to come. It may be a month from now. It may be 6 months from now. Maybe a year from now. Maybe 5 years from now. And what if it is 5 years from now? Are we just going to keep waiting for our disappearing? Are we going to keep becoming more relaxed and more relaxed with our spiritual responsibilities? Well, we can't do that. Because you see, tonight we're in a race. And there is a race that is set before us. God has a path for you tonight. The Lord has a path for me tonight. And listen, there are no pause buttons when it comes to life. And so therefore we must stay the course. We must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We must take up our cross daily, deny ourselves, and follow Him. If we want to be first, we got to be last. We must forgive our neighbor. We must love our neighbor if we're going to finish our race. And so stay the course. There's three words. Three words tonight I want to mention. And these three words are words that are to be remembered when it comes to staying the course. Three words. And if you have a pen and paper, you might want to jot them down. The first word is elimination. Elimination. Notice, if you would, in verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and here it is, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. If we're going to stay the course, if we are going to love His appearing and finish well, there needs to be elimination from our life. Now keep in mind tonight something. The writer of this book, the book of Hebrews, most people believe it's the Apostle Paul because of the wording and terminology, and also because of the kind of analogy he shares here. He gives analogy of racing. Paul uses racing. Paul uses boxing. Paul uses the Gretchen games back in Bible days in many of his writings. And I want you to notice here that whoever the author is, he uses the same thing here. He uses an analogy, as it were, of the Gretchen games. He talks about being in a race. But he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, he's already talking about a race. And so this first point, he says that if you are going to be in a race, and I believe he's reflecting back on Gretchen Games about running in a race, he says that there has to be elimination of excess weight. Excess weight. That word weight here, he says, and let us run, or I'm sorry, he says, and let us lay aside every weight. That word weight means encumbrance. It means encumbrance. It means something that can encumber you. But also, it's through the idea of weight being something that is causing you to slow down. You see, back in those Gretchen games, one that, and even today, if a person was going to get in a race, be in a race, then they wouldn't be eating fast food every day. They wouldn't be up all night eating milk and cookies. They wouldn't be eating biscuits and gravy every morning. And then on race day, showing up to the starting line with a headband on, with some Nike tennis shoes, ready to run this race. Because the truth be told, they would be weighted down. While they will be competing against all of these runners who were fit and fashioned, who have put in the discipline and the hours, and who have trained, and who have abstained from certain foods, and who have exercised. And so the person who has this excess weight, they wouldn't be a competitor at all. So Paul says that there needs to be some elimination if we're going to stay this course. Let us lay aside every weight or encumbrance, the thing that is excess in our life, something that is weighing us down. Tonight, I pose the question, what is it in our Christian life that is weighing us down from being all that we could be for Jesus? That's the question I'm imposing. He says, let us lay aside every weight. What is it that is causing you to not do your best in the Christian race? I mean, it can be something that it can be something on TV you're watching. It can be as simple as that. It can be some kind of something having to do with your flesh. Of course, that involves the flesh, but it can be anything across the spectrum tonight. What is it? Is it a burden you're carrying that God wants you to cast on Him? Is it something that you're involved with that is weighing you down that you need to shed? Now we're talking about shedding excess weight. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And so the word weight here, it means encumbrance, something that is encumbering about us. You know, the Bible says that when it came to Mary and Martha, in one portion of Scripture, Martha was serving tables, serving Jesus. Mary was at the feet of Jesus, and the Bible says that she was encumbered about with much serving. And likewise, in same form, here is this word, encumbered, excess, too much, too busy, distraction is something that is causing a person to drift from the Lord. It's not beneficial to you. It is something that is weighty and something encumbrant to your life. Paul says, let us lay aside every weight. But then he says, when it comes to elimination, in order to stay the course, he says, and the sin which does so easily beset us. You see, now he is, I say Paul, but most likely Paul here, but he is differentiating a weight from a sin. See, there can be something in my life that is slowing me down that isn't necessarily a sin, but it's not beneficial to me, but it can become one. So he says, and the sin which does so easily beset us. Notice the word beset here. The word beset means well surrounding. But also it's through the idea of a loose garment which could easily entangle the legs. And he's drawing his analogy, his focus, back to these racing games. Gretchen days. Greek times. When they would get up to the starting line, and if they had a long tunic all the way to their ankles, and they got on that starting line, and they were getting ready to run, and they started to run, that long tunic would get wrapped up in between their legs and it would just tangle them and suffocate them. And so this is the idea here. And the sin which doeth so easily beset us or surrounds us or entangles us. Paul says in life we all have weights, things that we do or involved with that doesn't further us along in our Christian life that aren't necessarily sins. But then he says, then we all have at least one sin, something that we struggle with in life that wraps us up, it entangles us, and it causes us not to be able to run the race like we should. So he says there needs to be an elimination. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. He said the word beset us is the thing that you contend with daily. I mean, it's the well surrounding thing. At any time, you can reach out and grab it. And again, it's like the runner trying to run a race with a tunic. They couldn't do that, just like a runner couldn't run a race with excess body weight. Those two things would be the definitions we see here of sin and weight. The long tunic would be the besetting sin all around us, tangling us, and then the weight would be excess body weight. Could not run the race with excess body weight, could not run the race with a long tunic. And so the writer says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Stay the course, church. Stay the course. I know we're going through a rough time and have been, and pre-adventure I'll say we are yet to go through much more rough times ahead before anything gets better. My prayer is that it gets better real soon. But whether it gets better real soon or whether it gets better at a far off, we have a race to run. And we must stay the course. And if we are going to stay the course, there must be an elimination. You know, it's funny talking to people nowadays, especially those you haven't seen in a while because of the pandemic. They say, well, I started doing this since the pandemic, or I started doing that since the pandemic, or I put a few pounds on, or I lost a few pounds, and or I started watching this TV show. And you see, you just never know, and all those things are fine within themselves if they're beneficial to your life. If they're not beneficial, they're not fine. But it just goes to show you how easy it is for things to change when things are different in our lives. And since this pandemic has come and we mostly have been Facebook Live, everybody in church for everybody has been different. Things have been changing. And people have been changing. And there's a temptation to change and to drift, and to drift from your steadfastness. But the Lord wants me to say tonight for you to stay the course. Stay the course. Keep your steadfastness. Don't add baggage to your life as you run your race, but eliminate baggage. Eliminate it. Stay connected to your church, which those that are watching are connected because you're watching. Stay connected to your church. Keep reading your Bibles and keep praying. Keep yielding to the Holy Spirit. And the time that you fall short and you sin and you know you have, repent quickly, confess it, get back up and go again. That's how you live the Christian life. There's a second word if we're going to stay the course. There's not only the word elimination, but then there's the word determination. Look, if you would, in this very same verse. He says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So first he tells us to let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, elimination. And then he tells us determination. Be determined and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I want you to notice the first word in this phrase. He says, and let us run. And the writer is telling us we are in a race. He didn't say walk. He didn't say trot. But he said run. And when you are in a race, you have to run. And I do want to say that we are in a race against ourselves, not against anybody else. And so this is a call tonight to give it everything that we have. This is the full court press, the basketball term, in the fourth quarter, when you give it everything you have. And the coach comes out and says, listen, this is the final round, the fourth quarter. We're only down by a basket. You need to give it everything you have so that we can win the championship. Full court press, everything you have. And the writer here says, and let us run. Run. Tonight, it would be easy again to slow this thing down to a crawl. Especially what we're going through as a world. But you see, the mandate is still the same. Because none of this caught God by surprise. The mandate is still the same. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, that I may give it you. The mandate is the same. The world changes, and the world system changes, and nature even changes, but our mandate never changes. And listen, our mandate tonight is to run and finish our race. But we have to have determination. Let us, he says, let us run. But then he says, run with patience. Let us run with patience. And listen, this isn't just a play on words. We're not trying to make a big stir when there's nothing to be stirred here, but there is something here. Let us run with patience. The word patience here means endurance, but also it means cheerful endurance. Because he says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What is set before us tonight? Heaven is set before us. Therefore, run with endurance. Being with our loved ones one day is set before us. Therefore, run with endurance. God has a purpose for your life and my life here on earth. Therefore, run with endurance that you may fulfill that purpose. God has a family for you, and God has a family for me. And what a blessing it is to have a family. Therefore, run with patience. Run with endurance. God has a church home for you. God has a church home for me, a ministry. The Lord has a job for you, a job for me. The Lord has blessings untold and blessings that we've already experienced. Therefore, run with endurance. It's not that we're running for nothing. We are, child of God, running for something tonight. We're running for something tonight. We are running the race that is set before us. Notice the word set here. God has set out our race. We don't know when our day is up. We don't know when we will cross that final boundary and God says, that's enough. They're coming home. Some, it's early in life. Others, it's later in life. Miss Betty Berry has ran the race that was set before her. But we had some unfortunate news, and we heard back at, I believe it's at Praise Academy, that a very young man had passed away a couple days ago of a sickness. A sickness that was beyond his control. And I have to believe in the providence, in the foreknowledge of God, he knew that and allowed that for some ultimate purpose. There was a boundary set early in life. And then we have a boundary set, Miss Betty Berry, later in life. And so literally we have a starting point by the young man and a finishing point by Miss Betty. And then there's all of our lives in between or thereabouts. We just never know. Never know when that mark is. But the truth tonight, the Bible says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The race that is set before us. There's a term I like to say sometimes, to stay in your lane. You say, who do you say that to? Well, sometimes we jokingly say it around the house, my wife and I back in each other. Stay in your lane. You stay in your lane. It's kind of funny like. I think I'm in trouble now. I'm getting the stink eye. Stay in your lane. You've heard that term before. But in all seriousness tonight, We all have a lane. We all have a lane. The question is, what does God want you to do in your lane? What does He want you to do in your lane? And listen, being a father, being a mother, being an employee is big enough. And working on the job and living for Jesus and being a testimony is big enough. Being the best father, being the best mother is big enough. And just make sure you make it a matter of prayer that you ask daily, Lord, what do you want me to do in my lane today in the race that's set before me? And let us run with patience, endurance, the race that is set before us. And I said this is a determination to stay the course. And I said the word patience also means cheerful endurance. I want to draw a parallel briefly. In verse 1 he says, and let us run with patience or cheerful endurance the race that's set before us. If you look in verse number 2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus did the very same thing. He endured with patience the race that was set before him cheerfully. Why? Because he had us in redemption's plan on his mind and redeeming us. And so therefore when we are running our race, we have him on our mind and making it to the finish line and being in heaven with him and our family and fulfilling our purpose here on earth. So that's how we are to have our determination. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Determination. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Elimination. But there's one more word if we're going to stay the course, and that is found in verse number 2, and that is inspiration. Inspiration. You know, a lot of people search in a lot of places for inspiration. They look to athletes for inspiration, and no doubt there's some athletes who can inspire. There's some singers who can inspire, some preachers who can inspire. But I want to say that there is one tonight that can inspire us from the inside out all the way to the finish line. Verse number 2, our inspiration is Jesus. And so the writer says, if we are going to stay the course, then we need to eliminate some things. We need to be determined. And if we're going to do this, we need inspiration. And our inspiration is looking unto Jesus, he says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our inspiration tonight. We look unto him for encouragement. We look unto him for inspiration. You know, the scriptures that tell us the story of the transfiguration there in the Gospels. And you remember when he was transfigured and he did his raiment did shine and he was changed from the inside out, basically. Because of who he was, and Peter saw all that, and Moses and Elijah. Well, down there toward the end of that situation, the end of that story, what you'll find is that the Bible says that these men saw nothing but Jesus only. Saw nothing but Jesus only. Jesus had got their attention by that transfiguration. And tonight we need to see Jesus only. We need to put on spiritual blinders. We need to be able to look straight ahead at him and block out everything on the sides. Preached a sermon one time not long ago of the blinders, the spiritual blinders. And horses, you know, wear blinders. Horses have the headgear they wrap around, and it has the two little blinders, and it literally stops them from seeing what's going on over here and what's going on over there. Wonder what it would be like tonight if we would be able to do the same thing. If we could just stay focused on Him and know that we have a course to trod, we have a race to run, and if we would just stay focused on Him, I wonder how that would play out. I guarantee you we would be able to eliminate some things. I guarantee you that we'll be able to be determined. And then, of course, as we continue to be inspired by looking unto Jesus, we could finish our race. But those blinders would stop the distractions on each side of the head. Those horses in those races would be able to take off running. I seen a video one time of a man actually riding a horse to a gas station. And a little old rabbit popped out on the front porch, and that horse started giddy-upping and ran across the street, about got hit by a car. Little bitty rabbit, distracted. And so, blinders on, put them in a race. Doesn't matter. There's in those stands, I'm sure you've seen it on TV, the Kentucky Derby, things like that. There are thousands of people in them stands. Horses don't even know it. And buddy, they're getting it. Got them blinders on. I'm sure there's people in there just hooting and hollering and screaming and calling names and throwing bottles and stuff. All kinds of stuff. But because them blinders are on, them horses are going at it. Tonight, we need to have spiritual blinders on. We need to block everything else out, but keep our eyes on Jesus. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, He's the one who has blazed the trail. He's a trailblazer. He blazed the trail, church. He's the one who instituted our faith, and He's the one who will continue our faith walk. He's been there. He's done that. He's at home in glory at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Tonight, He's our inspiration. We need to have determination. There needs to be elimination. The word tonight is simply this: stay the course. Stay the course. And those were just three words to remember. To stay the course. In the middle of everything that's going on, I just felt like tonight we needed to take a moment to just assume a refresher of spiritual responsibilities and go through these things one more time just to be reminded of what we already know. Elimination, determination, inspiration, stay the course. Heavenly Father, we love You tonight. We praise You tonight for who You are, for what You do. Thank You for being our inspiration. Lord, thank You for teaching us how to deny ungodliness and worldly lust through the grace of God. Thank You, Lord, for being our yoke that we could come to. Thank You for being meek and lowly. Thank You, Lord, for always being there when we need You the most. As we begin our brand new week, Lord, we do so by eliminating things, being determined to press forward in our Christian race, staying in our lane, and looking unto Jesus as our inspiration. We love You. We thank You. We praise You again. We pray for the funeral services, visitation tomorrow and Tuesday. Be with our people, Lord, Brother Harold. Be with our cancer patients as well, each and every person. that we mentioned this morning. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, we will go ahead and conclude service tonight at this time. And I want to thank you for joining us this morning and joining us this evening. We will pick up on our virtual altar call on a Wednesday night and then next Sunday night. But thank you for joining us. And again, visitation tomorrow night, 7 to 9, West Cobb Funeral Home. And then on Tuesday in the chapel, 11 a.m., all the CDC guidelines are in place. There's no worries there. If you do have any concerns, please call the funeral home, David Roach, and staff. They'll be glad to help you. But we should all be fine. Everyone take care. God bless, and have a wonderful night. We love you. Everything good? We'll pick it up again Wednesday night. We didn't do it. I think we want to end the virtual.